to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ once again. It is almost as if we can add our voices to the voices of the angels that proclaimed the glorious message 20 centuries ago. We do that through the singing of the hymn together. It's number 152, Angels We Have Heard on High. Let's stand together as we sing all the verses of this familiar Christmas carol. Our Father, we lift our voices tonight as if we were there. Our imagination soars back through the centuries to think of the excitement, the thrill of the angel's song, to be able to shout and speak and sing the loudest praises to your Son, to Jesus Christ, to the child born, to our Savior. We pray that you will hear our praises tonight and receive them with delight, and that not just the words of our lips, but the lives that we live may also be to your great glory. For we pray in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Hymn number 170, "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear," that glorious song of old. Again, let us stand as we sing the three verses together. It was Christmas Eve, and Bobby's excitement could hardly be contained. He was a typical 9-year-old, enthralled with all the potential of what was to be his on Christmas morning. His parents insisted that it was time for him to go to bed. And so he hung his stocking on the mantel, and he kissed Mom and Dad and walked up the staircase to go to a sleep that he was sure would never come. He thought it would be the longest night of his entire life. Surprisingly, he fell asleep rather quickly. And it seemed as if the night passed in the shortest of time. He was suddenly awakened with a loud and a rather brusque voice that said, "Get up!" And he sat up with a start. The light was bright in his eyes, and he squinted until finally he could get used to it and then realize it's Christmas morning. It's what he's been so long waiting for. He got dressed in record time. He estimated under 9 seconds, but whatever it was fast. And down the stairs and around the wall into the living room. And to his surprise, his stocking was gone. It wasn't on the mantle. Nor was the Christmas tree there. He remembered it. He had helped decorate it. He had cut out some paper angels that he had carefully and, he thought, strategically placed on just the right branches. While he was trying to figure it out, there was a shrill whistle that sounded. He recognized it because he had heard it so many times before. It was the work whistle from the factory halfway across town. He thought, that's strange. No one works on Christmas Day. But the gatekeeper had become a good friend. He would often go over there, and Bobby would talk to him, and the gatekeeper would let him come into the yard and sometimes visit the factory, and they would sit and they would chat during the gatekeeper's idle hours. So he hurried over and went to the gate, and as he walked up and saw his friend, he was amazed that his friend said, "Hey, kid, out of here. Come on. Kids aren't allowed here." Again, wondering what was happening, he turned and walked down the street and saw that all the stores were open, the candy store and the toy shop, the bakery and the butcher shop. As he walked past the grocery store, there was a woman walking out. He didn't recognize her and walked up and said, "Excuse me, but could you explain to me why all the stores are open on Christmas?" She gave him a blank stare in return. Christmas? What's that? His church. He knew if he went to his church, that would explain everything. There, people would know what Christmas is, and there, somebody would understand exactly what was going on. And so he went the familiar walk that he had taken many times before, took a right and went a block and took a left and came around the corner right to where the church building had always stood. And to his amazement, there was nothing there. It was a vacant lot covered with weeds that had for a long time grown. He wondered what happened to the window in his Sunday school classroom where he had taken the star that he had made out of construction paper and taped it up just a couple of weeks before. He wondered where the place was that he had so often been taken by his parents to worship God and had become familiar with the hymns and with the Bible stories. He wondered, what did they do with the steeple and the carillon that plays the bells, the tunes that he has known all the 9 years of his life? While he was trying to figure out all of these strange, impossible things, he heard a groan from over in some tall grass. He went over there and he found a man who was badly hurt. The man said to him, "They hit me. They hit me with the car and they kept just driving along. I need help. Please help me." Bobby said, I don't know how to help you. I don't know what to do, but I'll think of something." And as he said that, he felt a hand on the back of his shirt, and it was a woman's hand pulling him up. And she said, "Leave him alone. We don't even know him. He's not from around here. Just keep away from him, and you're going to be better off." Bobby couldn't keep away from him. He said, the hospital. I'll run to the hospital. I'll get there as fast as I can. They'll send an ambulance. Somebody will come. Don't worry. And so he ran faster than he had ever run before. Out of breath, he came to the hospital of the Good Samaritan. But although he had seen it 1,000 times before, it was an empty field. Scared, wondering, trying to figure it all out. He walked slowly home. And as he walked, he figured where he could find the answer. It was in the Bible. For his dad had read to him the Christmas story just the night before. And so he picked up the pace and he went into the house. And sure enough, he found the Bible just where it had been left the night before on the coffee table in the family living room. He took it and he paged through and passed the Old Testament and came to the Christmas story. He thought in the New, and to his astonishment, all the pages for the New Testament were blank. The place where he had looked for the answer, they were empty. No mention of Jesus' birth. No telling of his life or his miracles or his teachings. Not a single explanation that he had died or that he had been raised back to life from the dead again. None of the invitations to become Christian, to spend eternity with God in heaven. And he just couldn't hold it anymore. And Bobby began to cry. He went back up to his room, and what started as a few tears became a flood, and he threw himself on his bed and put his head in the pillow and sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Bobby. It was his mother's voice. From the bottom of the steps, she said, come on, Bobby, it's Christmas Day. Aren't you coming down? He got up again with hesitation. He went to the window and he looked out and he saw on the neighbor's house the wreath and the lights that they left on in their tree from the darkness of the night before. He heard a sound. It was a bell, a carol. It was playing Joy to the World. The Lord is come. And so he turned to run downstairs, but paused long enough and turned back and closed his bedroom door behind him and closed his eyes and bowed his head. He said, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you really did come. Thank you that there really is. You know, if Jesus had not come, this would not be the year of our Lord, 1991. We would write a different date on our checks and our letters. If Jesus had not come, we would not gather in a church building. We would be perhaps in a heathen temple. If Jesus had not come, there would be no jewelry in the shape of a cross. If Jesus had not come, there would be no hope. There would be no forgiveness of sin. There would be nothing but death, as frightening as death could possibly be. If Jesus had not come, our eternities would promise nothing but punishment. But Jesus did come. The Bible says that though he was rich, for our sakes he became poor. That he, the eternal Son of God, with all the privileges, all the perks of heaven, in the best place that there could be in all the universe, wrapped up in the glory of God and seated on the throne of heaven itself, chose to step down and to be wrapped in a long swaddling cloth like a mummy and placed in a manger of cow's straw. And did you know that he did not mind? that he was not embarrassed nor humiliated, that he chose to do it, that he wanted to do it for us because he loved us that much to give to us Christmas. But did you also know that Christmas would long, long ago have been forgotten? Were Christmas only its own story? It would be like a rope that has one end or a bridge that only has one side. It would not be enough to matter. It would not make sense. No, there has to be more to the Christmas story, or there is no Christmas story. There's a painting done now many years ago that depicts the boy Jesus in Joseph's carpenter shop. The sun is setting in the west and is baking the walls and lighting the inside of the shop as the door fades westward. And the boy Jesus, who had worked hard all day long, was stretching. In the corner of the painting is Mary, with a troubled look in her face. Not as she looked at her son in his stretch, but as she looked at his shadow on the wall behind. For what she saw was not a boy who had worked hard all day with his arms outreached, but what she saw in the shadow was a man who was being crucified. The Christmas story is the story that the baby who came was the Son of God, meant to be a man and to become a Savior by dying on the cross for our sin. Can you imagine yourself, just for a moment, in that awful dilemma, that mixture of fear and hope, of needing a new heart, and on Christmas Day, wondering if that would be your last Christmas or if a transplant might be made available? And while your family is opening the gifts on Christmas morning, the phone rings. And someone on the other side with an urgent voice tells you that someone that you don't even know has died, and that the heart that is available is a perfect match, and that you must come safely but quickly to the hospital for the surgery that will give you many more years of perhaps unexpected life. And you think to yourself, wow, at last, that's the best Christmas present that I think I could ever have. This will be the best Christmas ever. Except, you know, it wouldn't be much good if it were not accepted. You see, Christmas without accepting the gift means it really isn't Christmas, because Christmas doesn't do any good at all. Christmas without accepting the best gift makes it what? Maybe a happy day, but hardly not a new heart or a new life. And that's why we must remember to make Christmas, Christmas. To accept God's gift of Jesus, the Savior. For not to accept his gift is to make it as if he had never come. We must accept the gift, or Christmas doesn't count. We must accept the gift, salvation from sin, a new heart, eternal life. I can't think of anything worse than Christmas being real and then living as if it had never happened. You say, well, how would I do that? If this Christmas Eve I were to say yes to God and I want the gift of his son, how do you go about accepting such a Christmas gift? Well, in a sense, it's much like accepting any other gift. You take it. You say, thank you. And you make that gift a part of your life. And so, on Christmas Eve, perhaps better than any other time, say to God, God, thank you for Christmas, but most of all, thank you for Jesus. I accept him as my only Savior from sin, as the number one person in all my life. I accept your gift with Jesus of forgiveness of sin, of a new heart, of a new life that lasts forever. Thank you, God. Thank you for giving me the best gift of all. Thank you for making Christmas Christmas. we sing the Christmas question and the Christmas answer. In hymn number 150, What Child Is This? Let's stand together to sing. Oh, our Father, it is the great question, and you have given to us the eternal answer, that this child is Christ, the King, and with him comes joy, joy that is greater than all of life's circumstances, joy greater than all of our sins, joy that goes beyond this life into all of eternity. May your answer be our answer. And may your great joy be ours this Christmas through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Good night.